This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week. This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Another piece of the Alec Murdaugh bubble is the allegations of jury tampering from Becky Hill and then now wiretapping against her son. It all comes from the same place. Jeffrey Colton Hill, who's also the Culloden County Information Technology Director. Not a good look for this family, especially for Becky, who's already been trying to fight off these allegations. And maybe there is nothing to it. Maybe somebody misunderstood. But, I mean, this was filed. The Harpootalan and Jim, I don't think they'd be filing something if they didn't actually have something to base it on. They say they have some sworn testimony. If this is connected now to that, which we don't know that it is at this moment in time, but does that almost completely guarantee Alec a new trial if now we have some sort of wiretapping going on from the clerk of court's son?
Well, from sleuthing into the clerk of court's son, it looks like this was a very long investigation that has been conducted against the son in terms of wiretapping. And there's no inference that it had anything to do with the Murdaugh trial, but rather that in his position, he would record conversations of individuals, including they're saying, you know, one high placed individual. I don't know whether that's a judge or, you know, exactly who that was because they didn't say, but basically recorded these victims' conversations. It's all kind of very strange. Also, I find it interesting that he was released on his own recognizance. You know, it was, a $20,000, but it was a PR bond. Mm-hmm. So I found that interesting. In other words, that a lot of times will show the egregiousness of a crime, right? Their willingness to flee because they're worried about being convicted and serving jail time. But when you get a PR bond, it kind of lowers that bar, if you will. So I wonder what excuse he's going to have for making these recordings. Will it be accidental? You know, will he just say, listen, I was supposed to record this and I accidentally recorded that? I mean, I can't wait to hear exactly the details, but they're basically just saying that telephone conversations were recorded of individuals that were there. Of course, he's lost his job. It was a nice figure job, over $90,000 that he was making. Tony, I don't think it's going to intersect into this case from what I can glean. But boy, if it did, that would be a huge issue.
Well, let's say it does not intersect into this case. Why is he doing it? Using the power of the information technology director, as he was, to gain that information in the first place. I highly doubt he's just sitting there, you know, in his room listening to these things going, oh, that's neat. And I'm hearing things other people aren't hearing and keeping it all to himself. I would imagine there's some sort of reason or motive there to be collecting this sort of information, whether it be connected to Alec Murdaugh's case or, God, there's a lot of cases that go through this courthouse. So I would imagine maybe there's something else going on with other cases as well, if this is in fact what he was doing, because there'd have to be some reason for it.
You know, and this is just strictly from experience with others that have done crazy things like this that were in a position to record. Sometimes, believe it or not, it's just about paranoia. You know, they're worried about what other people might be saying about others that they care about, themselves, about what's going on, their lust to sort of be in the know about everything, the power trip that they can be on in this position of being able to have this information and being able to, you know, play technical god and listen to any conversation that they want. It could just boil down to that, Tony, and not really boil down to particular case outcome as opposed to their own need for power and control of understanding everything going on in that courthouse.
That does make a lot of sense. I mean, you do have that with individuals, you know, trying to get information, trying to be in control, very kind of a narcissistic move. You see that quite a bit of whether or not they're going to use that information or not, that they at least have it. And it's then part of their equation in their mind for whatever decision-making that they have. And it gives them some power that other people don't have. Yeah, we just do not know. We just don't know at this moment in time what the answers are to that. But certainly another piece of smoke, if you will, another plume of smoke coming out of that building that really shouldn't have any sort of smoke or fire going on. It should be a place of justice.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.